everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of February 11th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and not buried under 2 feet of snow, Melissa Hans.
No, that would be you.
That would be me.
Buried under 2 feet of snow.
I was going to do
a whole bunch of our writers.
This is true.
Mac and Eric and Dave are all out there shoveling.
Yep. So. I was going to do this effect where I was like down in a hole or something, but... Sun's out. The snow is melting. It's supposed to be 45 degrees and raining here tomorrow.
Oh, jeez. That's going to be a mess.
Yeah, it is. It's just going to flood everywhere because there's no place for
yeah,
water to
yeah.
go. So what has your weekend entertainment looked like?
It's been kind of a boring week. I rewatched Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
And it holds up.
Does it?
Yeah. I saw it when it came out.
Yep, on the big screen.
And the big screen. And when it came out, I was originally like, whatever, I don't want to see it. And it was a screening, right? So I'm like, I'll go, whatever. And I was like, holy crap, that's a good movie. And so watching it again, it holds up. It's a really great action flick. And it's the movie that made me stop hating Tom Cruise, which is quite a miracle.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so I did that. And then like most people watch Community this week and then went,
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think that, it's pretty much the resounding thing is, I mean, to me, there were some goodbyes. Some people hated it. I didn't hate it.
Okay.
But I was not blown away by it.
Yeah.
Which they should have come out with, like, the most amazing episode ever just to prove that they can do it and that the wait was worth it and everything. And it was, kind of won. So
how many episodes do they have then to burn off?
Oh, I don't know how many. They got signed for.
Is it 15 or something like that? 13 maybe?
Yeah, it's not the full, like 22 season.
Yeah, I think each one of those NBC sitcoms got a half season order this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they're all, because now the 30 Rock ended, Community's back.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
All right.
That's my whole review.
Well, mine hasn't been too exciting. I've been trying to write to get caught up on a bunch of reviews that have been outstanding. And one of them that we have not written yet is Prometheus, which came out on Blu-ray a while back over the fall, and Ridley Scott's prequel to Alien, and this 4-disc Blu-ray set is just phenomenal. It includes 2 audio commentaries, one by Ridley himself, and then a split commentary between John Spates, who was the original writer of the film, and then Damon Lindelof does another commentary, and they kind of intercut the two of them, which is interesting because John has some bitterness over Damon being brought in to take over the script. So that's interesting. And all three are interesting in their own right. But the real value here is almost a 4-hour making-of documentary by DVD Extras producer extraordinaire Charlie De Lazarica, who
I had
the chance to meet and talk with, and he's done a lot of really incredible stuff. But this is everything. It's one of those things that's going to change the way you see the film by watching everything that went into it. And I've had the extreme pleasure of sitting down and talking with Ridley Scott, who is an amazing guy and amazing filmmaker, and that just comes across in every ounce of this documentary. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So fans will definitely want to check out the extras. But even if you didn't love it and you just like cinema, maybe the extras will change your opinion.
Well, and it fills in a lot of holes for questions that people had about the film itself. You know, some plot points that weren't quite clear. And they make those abundantly clear in the documentary.
Shouldn't that be clear in the movie, though?
Damon's whole – and he says this flat out. He said, I love to let an audience use their imagination to choose
– we all know that.
But so that was his approach to the rewrite.
Okay.
He said, I'm not going to spell out everything for you.
Okay. So. All right.
Box office seems to have picked up this week, despite the storm.
It did. But the number one is not a surprise. How much it made, I think, is a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Identity Thief.
Yep.
Came in at number one, but with $36.5 million.
That's pretty impressive.
That's a pretty big opening for lately. And then Warm Bodies is hanging in there at number two.
So you got the comedy going.
Yeah, with 11.5. Side Effects, which is Steven Soderbergh's latest, again with Channing Tatum, but that's at $10 million in number three. Silver Linings Playbook.
Still holding on to its Oscar buzz.
Yep. Yeah, just under 7 million. And Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, just under 6 million.
Well, the interesting thing about the top movie is, so Seth Gordon had really good response with Horrible Bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And now here he comes back again with another strong comedy. So he's making quite a name for himself in the genre.
Yeah, yeah.
Next week, no surprise, the only movie that's worth talking about is A Good Day to Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis's fifth Die Hard movie, and Regal Cinemas is actually doing a 5-film marathon on Thursday.
Oh, fun.
$35 for non-club members, $30 for club members, but that's a good almost 12 hours sitting in the movie theater watching Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
But could be interesting.
Yeah.
There are other two other...
I'm looking forward to it.
Are you
care.
Really? Because I
don't from... care what you say. I want to see it. So there.
I liked the fourth film. I'm just worried that the franchise is so tapped out that all it's going to be is just, you know, one action.
I don't care. It's Bruce Willis, right? Like, cracking wise and kicking ass. What more do you need? I don't care.
I suppose. We'll see how it plays out. Two other movies of note opening this next weekend. Escape from Planet Earth, counter-programming for the kids. Yet another DreamWorks-esque, not made by DreamWorks. It's actually a Weinstein Brothers. I think they picked it up. It's another small animation house that did this. But it's a group of aliens who get kidnapped by the U.S. government, and then they have to escape.
Okay.
And then we've got Beautiful Creatures, which is not a remake of the Peter Jackson film.
No.
But an adaptation of Cami Garcia's supernatural romance drama brought to life. I think the lead female is a witch, and she falls in love with
supernatural romance. Yes, we need more of that.
Paranormal teen romance. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. If you are not going to the theaters and you want to know what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, head over to DVDverdict.com and click on the DVD releases tab for February 12th. Big news, Skyfall, the James Bond film that you and I have talked about, that we both extremely loved, arrives on DVD and Blu-ray, along with a handful of other of the Bond franchise films that have not had individual Blu-ray releases yet, but did come out in that big box set. Man with the Iron Fists, which was directed by Wu-Tang Clan's RZA, produced by Quentin Tarantino. It's one of those hyper-stylized chop-socky films with Russell Crowe and Lucy Liu. Didn't do well at the box office. Could find a home on home
yeah,
video.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. Perks of Being a Wallflower. Logan Lerman. What's her name?
Hermione
Granger. Why am I blanking on her real name? Emma Watson.
Yes.
Again, another critically acclaimed film that didn't last in the box office for very long.
Yeah, I think it'll do well on DVD.
I think so, too. In terms of TV, we've got the final season of Weeds, which I never even saw a single episode of the show, but everyone talks about how great it was.
So yeah, it was something different. I think that's why people think it was great.
Okay.
It was just different.
All right. And then the final season and the complete series release of Gossip Girl from Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. Whew. I know. The other interesting thing that's coming out this week is A Liar's Autobiography, which is an animated... It was Richard Linklater's... What was the movie that he did that had all the animated subtext? I mean, all the individual vignettes.
Oh, yeah, with, like, Winona Ryder.
Yeah, they did
that.
They did a Before Sunrise piece in there.
With it was
Hawk
a whole...
And Julie Delpy. Anyways, they took that approach. Graham Chapman, who was of Monty Python fame, had written his autobiography before he passed away of throat cancer in the 80s, and he had done an audio recording of himself reading the book.
Okay.
So what this animation house did is they said, let's animate Graham talking about this. What's more, let's get the other Pythons in to do some of the other characters so that they're playing off of each other. In execution, let's say in theory, it should be brilliant. In execution, it's a mixed bag.
I'm like gasping a little bit under my breath as you're describing it.
I watched it the other night.
Not so much.
There's some parts that are absolutely amazing, including this whole kind of where he cleaned himself. He was an alcoholic to the nth degree, mm-hmm. and he cleaned himself up. And so they did this whole thing where he's reading about what it was like to kind of detox himself. And he did it on his own. He didn't do it in a rehab clinic or anything. He just pretty much locked himself in his room for a week. And his partner took care of him as he kind of worked through this. But the animation and what they do with it, it's all very Pink Floyd-esque and really impressive. So there is some great stuff, and it's a mix of animation, right? So it's hand-drawn, it's stop-motion, it's a melange of things, and it just, I wish it would have worked better than it did.
Mm, okay.
But it's worth checking out. Over at Netflix, handful of stuff, not all that great. Liar, Liar, Happy Gilmore, As Good As It Gets, Glenn Close's live-action adaptation of 101 Dalmatians, and then The Making of Graham Chapman, Anatomy of a Liar.
Okay.
Which is far more interesting than the film itself.
That actually, I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Because you get to sit and talk with each one of the Pythons and Graham's family and friends. Yeah. And get to know the guy from a very different perspective than what we knew him as. So, definitely check that out. Over at Hulu, we've got The Marx Brothers, A Night in Casablanca. We've got Stephen Sondheim's Company, which was the all-star version that had Neil Patrick Harris and Stephen Colbert and a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. For the cheese factor, we've got The Terra of Mechagodzilla. So it's Godzilla versus the robot Godzilla.
Oh, okay.
It was actually, they did two of those movies, and they were both really cheesy, good fun.
Okay.
70s Chopsocky cheese with David Carradine in Circle of Iron. And then there's an interesting documentary called Decoding Deepak, which was filmed by his son Gotham, Deepak Chopra's son Gotham.
Interesting. I was actually just having a conversation about Deepak Chopra.
Really?
And how I've completely fallen off his bandwagon.
Okay.
I think he's full of it and out for the money.
So his son spent a year on tour with his dad. You know, okay. Promoting books and doing lectures and stuff like that. So
yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be. All right, that's all I've got for streaming media this week.
Okay. Well, on TV this week, Monday on the Travel Channel, Bizarre Foods America has its season premiere. So you can watch people eat gross stuff. But also on Showtime, it's a season 2 premiere of Inside Comedy, which is a chat show with comedians.
Oh.
And then Tuesday, State of the Union. So good night to watch all that Netflix stuff.
That.
No, you should all watch State of the Union. Be good citizens. So that'll be on every major network. There won't be anything else on. And Wednesday, didn't this just end? Survivor's back already again.
Oh, my God.
Yikes. The twist this time is fans versus favorites. So some returning and some fans of the show and whatever. I don't care. But that's on CBS if you do. And Thursday, they've been promoting this a lot. Anthony Edwards' new show.
Oh, I saw a preview.
It's about conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
It's called Zero Hour, and it's on ABC.
And I think it's
Thursday.
A remake of a British series, to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay. So, I don't know. It looks interesting, especially if you're a fan of his. So, I'll probably check it out and see if I like it or not. I'm already out of Kevin Bacon, The Following. I watched like 2 episodes, and I'm this is kind of bad. So, anyhow, I'll check out Anthony Edwards' new one.
All right.
Saturday, there's a special on HBO. It's called Life is But a Dream. It's about Beyonce. So if you didn't get enough of her showing all her goodies at the Super Bowl, you can watch that. Yeah. Sunday, Downton Abbey has the season finale. And if you have avoided spoilers to this point, then good for you, man. Keep it going, because it's out there how it ends.
All right.
I mean, it's very much out there. So, anyhow, you can finally see how this season ends. And then The Amazing Race begins, the new season of that on CBS on Sunday. And Sports Illustrated, The Making of Swimsuit 13 is on the Travel Channel on Sunday night. So you can see all what they did. Actually, TMZ like broke this kind of accidentally. I don't think they realized what it was for. It's Kate Upton's on the cover.
Okay.
But they took her down to Antarctica. Like on a boat, and she sit out there in that freezing cold in a bikini.
Oh, jeez.
But anyhow. So anyhow, if you want to look at, you know, supermodels in swimsuits, Travel Channel, Sunday night, and TNT has the NBA All-Star game. So if you want to look at boys in shorts, you're all set. whatever floats your boat Sunday night, you got it.
There you go.
In music this week, Brian Ferry Orchestra has a new CD called The Jazz Age, and it's actually old jazz standards. And speaking of standards, I've Got Your Number, which is kind of classic American songbook stuff, recorded by Tom Wopat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's done really well for himself in theater and on Broadway.
He had a bit part in Django Unchained, too.
Yes. Yeah, so anyhow, if you're still a fan of his from, you know, the Duke Boy days,
yep.
Or if you're a fan now from his theater, yep. You can check that out. Stephen Curtis Chapman, who's a huge Christian singer, he has a new album out, Number Ones, Volume 2. So he's had enough number one hits to make at least two CDs of them.
Which is funny, when you said that name, I'm thinking Mark David Chapman, which was the guy that assassinated John Lennon.
Yeah, very different person. I don't think they're related.
No.
But, and in soundtracks, Beautiful Creatures that you mentioned, that's coming out, and the soundtrack is also out.
Right.
And Bombshell, the new Marilyn musical from Smash.
Oh, finally.
So it's actually all of the, it's not just from Smash, it's all the songs that they wrote for the fake musical.
Yeah, Mark Shaiman and his writing
partner.
Listen to.
Yeah. So that's out, so it's all the cast.
Sweet.
Singing that. In books this week, we do not have to say his name.
Oh, thank God.
He'll be back next week. But I get to say Jonathan Kellerman, who is my favorite author, has a new Alex Delaware one, number 28, called Guilt. And Jackie Collins has a new book called The Power Trip.
Okay.
And Life Code, The New Rules for Winning in the Real World by Philip C. McGraw. So, Dr. Phil.
Oh.
So, if you're into his shit, I was talking about Chopra. I was a big fan of his. When Dr. Phil, when he started on Oprah, kind of being blunt and honest, and now he just drives me up the damn wall. I think he's a disgrace to the profession. Okay, that's my soapbox. Julia Michaels from Biggest Loser has another book out called Slim for Life, My Insider Secrets to Simple, Fast, and Lasting Weight Loss. Huh. And Daniel Amen, he's on PBS a lot. He has some specials. His new book is called Unleash the Power of the Female Brain, Supercharging Yours for Better Health, Energy, Mood, Focus, and Sex. And his thing is how to overcome depression and anxiety and things like that, really by retraining your brain.
Yeah.
It's kind of threw that in there because I really like his work.
Oh, nice.
So Nigella Lawson, the sexy cook. That is on the Food Channel. I don't know if you know British.
No, kind I of know nothing about the
bigger
food
girl. Oof. Anyhow, Nigella Lawson has a new one, Easy Italian-Inspired Recipes. Nigella Issima, like Bellissima. She put her name in there because she can do that. She's very hot. Don Scalzi, who's a science fiction writer, his Human Division series, they're out in e-format.
Oh.
This week. And I kind of bring him up because I want to mention him anyhow. And this could go in news, but I'm just going to throw it in here. I follow him on Twitter. It's at S-C-A-L-Z-I.
All right.
And he has gotten in a fight with some trolls on Twitter.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
Who have decided to like for this one guy for like a long time has been like just throwing crap at him on Twitter. He's ignored it and hasn't worked. So he finally got to the point. He's like, every time he mentions me, I'm going to donate money to like agencies he'd hate, you know,
just to piss him off.
Yeah. And so he asked people to join him. And now like he's got like $50,000 in promised donations.
Oh my God.
Against it. So anyhow, it's kind of cool. If you want to check out his Twitter feed, go back like a week. There's a bunch of stuff in there. And it links to his blog, so you can find out, how to combat trolls on the internet.
There you go.
So, news in theater this week. It's not going to open until this summer, but there's been casting. They're bringing back Always Patsy Cline.
Oh.
The Patsy Cline bio and musical with, you know, all of her singing. Crystal Bowersox.
Oh, wow. From American Idol.
The diabetes dreadlock.
Yeah.
She's going to be playing Patsy Cline.
Interesting.
On the stage coming this summer.
Very cool. She's got an amazing voice.
Yeah, I think it'll be great.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect casting. So, So anyhow, if you're a fan of Patsy Cline or a fan of Crystal, you can keep your eye out for that this summer.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in movie news, I mean, the biggest news of this past week was obviously Disney and Marvel. Disney and Lucasfilm announcing phase one of their Star Wars expansion will not only be episode 7 directed by J.J. Abrams, but they're going to do possibly 2, maybe 3 spin-off films.
Okay.
So they're gonna duplicate the Marvel model with the universe type thing where things are gonna potentially tie together. So you've got a
because it worked for Marvel doesn't mean it's gonna work for anybody else.
I know, but any studio executive, they have the thought of, hey, we've done this, it's made us a ton of money. How can we duplicate it and make more money? So they're looking at a young Han Solo film, mm-hmm. in which he would be, you know, a pirate, a space pirate working for Jabba the Hutt kind of thing. And the other one would be...
Watch Serenity, people. Come on.
Hey, Joss Whedon is working for Disney these days, so who knows? Maybe he'll write the script.
Okay.
And then you've got a Boba Fett bounty hunter film. So.
And what? Does anyone want to see that? Raise your
hand. I don't know. The other rumor was that the Yoda self-contained film, but perfectly honest, I don't need a Yoda film. I think we've seen enough of him over, you know, 5 movies.
Watch any of that.
Yeah. Apparently, speaking of Marvel, a reliable source at Marvel Entertainment has revealed to the movie blog Latino Review that the tease at the end of Avengers 2 could very well set up a Hulk sequel, which sounds an awful lot like Marvel Comics' Planet Hulk storyline, in which Tony Stark and Captain America and the Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic, the Hulk gets so out of control that they shoot him into outer space. Just to get him off the planet before he destroys anything else.
Okay.
And in the process, he goes through a wormhole and lands on this kind of Spartacus-like war planet.
Okay.
Where he becomes a prisoner and a gladiator. He's forced into becoming a gladiator to fight in these games. And in the process, overthrows the government that's in place and then rallies all of these people around him because he becomes the new leader, you know, the savior of the planet.
Did you read these comics?
I did read
them. Any good?
They actually were particularly good. So, and the reason I say this is because then the third Avengers film, and again, this is all speculation, but it comes from a supposedly reliable source. The third film would be the Hulk and then all of his new followers coming back to Earth to seek revenge on the guys who sent him away in the first place, which that storyline was then called World War Hulk, which wasn't as good as Planet Hulk, but... I don't know, it just sounds like this is the way they're setting things up to go. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
All right.
There's a lot of films that are going to come between now and then, so...
Yeah, exactly.
This could all change. Universal, speaking of remakes of things, has hired the Gorillaz video director, you know, the band that has all these really unique looks. You don't normally see the band themselves, you see their animated counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a longtime animator, Pete Candleland, to create a CG animated version of The Grinch to make us forget about the Jim Carrey version.
Okay, yeah, because I think we all forgot about that, like on purpose. We all blocked it out.
Yeah. Well, I watched it for the first time this past Christmas, and
ooh.
Now I'm just painfully remembering every minute of it. So The Lorax did really well. Horton Hears a Who did really well. Mm-hmm. So now they're going to do an animated Grinch and an animated Cat in the Hat.
Okay.
As well as a live-action biopic of Ted Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss.
Ooh, that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
He has an amazing story.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see about that. Christina Applegate has exited NBC's Up All Night.
Yeah, this is... What the hell are they going to do?
Well... When I was, before I left Los Angeles, there was a Q&A with the cast. So it was Will and Christina and Maya, mm-hmm. and they talked about how much they loved working together and working for Emily Spivey, who used to be a writer on SNL, and then she went and created the show.
But she's left.
Soon after that, Christina got really burned out on the schedule. She's got little kids at home,
mm-hmm.
And they were doing, it's a single camera show, which means they shoot it like a film. and it was
sitting. Yeah, but it's not anymore.
Well, that's
just here's the thing. They changed the show at the beginning of this season.
Right.
They changed part of the plot. Maya Rudolph was this Oprah-like character.
Yes.
Well, her show got canceled.
Okay.
So they got rid of all those secondary characters with the show, and then they brought on Christina Applegate's brother.
Oh.
Like, I mean, not a real-life brother, but her character's brother. Okay. So they changed it all this fall, and now they're going back into production. They're changing it all again, and they're making it cheaper. They're not doing it like the Modern Family single camera thing. They're doing a typical. They've built all the stages for it. It's going to be a typical three camera boring ass sitcom now.
Studio audience, yeah.
So they've already changed. They changed it for like half the season. Now they're changing it again for the rest of the season, and she won't be on it.
She's
so
quitting.
Well, how do you do this? There's really, it's this couple and then like her friend and her brother right now is what the show is.
Oh, you recast the role.
Yeah. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Which is just, I don't know.
Or you pack it in and say, all right, forget it.
Yeah. I think they should just let it die. And I think they shouldn't have because it was a really good show last season.
Yeah.
And the network just ruined it. Yeah. Absolutely ruined it. And I think they should just pack it in, which is sad.
It is.
Because who doesn't love watching? And the three of them together was even better than any of them individually. And they're so great individually.
Yeah. And this was a Lorne Michaels show. You know,
yeah.
It was exceptionally well executed to begin with. And then I think the ratings fell off. And I don't think it really found its footing. And the audience kind of went away. So.
But I think it's one of those you need to leave it. And either like let it go as long as you can, like 30 Rock or something. And then finally pull the plug.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just let it, maybe it would have found some more audience as it went. But
the amazing thing is that you milk out a show like The Office, which everybody talks every week about how painful that show is and has been for the past 2 years. And you let that go where you don't foster the creativity of new series. But it sounds like there's a lot of new sitcoms in development for pilot season this year. So they may be grooming a whole new crop of stuff.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what they do with this. Yeah. With Christina gone, because that's just, I don't know how you recover from that.
And she starts filming, the end of this month, she starts filming the sequel to Anchorman, so she'll be fine. Yeah. A couple other quick pieces of news. Dame Shirley Bassey, the legendary Bond woman voice of some great Bond theme songs, is making her first appearance at the Oscars, performing alongside Adele, Nora Jones, and Barbara Streisand.
How cool. Yeah, they're doing a whole bunch of... Bond stuff this year. We'll see, because there's rumors that they're going to have the actors, but we'll have to wait and see if they pull out a surprise or not.
Connery won't show up. He refuses to be any part of that stuff.
We'll see.
And then, as a lead into your Kardashian news, Chris Brown pulled a Lindsay Lohan on Saturday and crashed his Porsche into a wall in Beverly Hills while he was trying to avoid the paparazzi.
Well, he says... The paparazzi say they didn't get there till after he crashed. So we're going to have to see how this plays out.
Maybe Frank Ocean was in the car with him at the time. Who knows?
Oh, jeez, Louise.
Anyways, that's all I've got for entertainment news.
Well, Kardashian news. It's, you know, good week, bad week for Mama Chris. She actually is getting her own talk show.
I heard this.
So it's bad. It's just bad news for the rest of us.
Yes.
But, yeah, so this summer, who knows? Like, we need more of her. But somebody gave her a damn show. Thanks a lot. But in Touch Magazine, I don't know how, but got a hold of a psychological evaluation that was done during her divorce from Robert Kardashian.
Yeah.
So they got a copy of this, and they have printed. So I've got a few quotes. This is out of In Touch Magazine. I haven't actually seen the report, but this is what they say it says. Kristen was found to have histrionic and narcissistic traits. Well, duh. But Kristen appears to have less need for others' approval, but a greater need that her sense of specialness be mirrored. This profile is associated with women who are immature, impulsive, high risk takers who do things others do not approve of just for the personal enjoyment of doing so. The results indicate that Kristen may occasionally show bad judgment and that she tends to be somewhat selfish, pleasure oriented, narcissistic, and manipulative. But here's the best line. She has, quote, a Cinderella attitude where situations resulted in everyone living happily ever after.
Oh, my God. Now, I have a question for you. Why would they do a psych profile during a divorce?
Because he wanted to show she was a bad mother.
Oh, okay. This was part of custody thing?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
because part of this report and stuff with his lawyers was him saying how she would go stay out all night and she wouldn't come home and take care of the kids. And she never wanted to be a mother and things like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. They each went through it. It was just the judge may have ordered it. That you have these two whacked out people like yelling at each other in your courtroom, telling lies about each other. I'm sure the judge may have ordered it to like try to figure out who the hell is sane and who the hell is not. And my guess is neither of them were, but anyhow, so that's out there.
Well, if nothing else, she will put her Kardashian label on any type of psych profile service that would be available
That's probably how she'll spin it. Kris Kardashian approved, because she won't use Jenner. Kris Kardashian approved. Because now that name is the one, you know, more famous, she's all about that one. Anyhow.
And on that bombshell, we will wrap up the show for this week. So thank you for tuning in. As always, head over to DVDverdict.com to catch up on our reviews. And one of these days, the Golden Gavels will be appearing before the Oscars. I will get it done.
Eventually. And this week, our contest, you can win a copy of the documentary Bully.
Ooh, nice.
So you can enter that on the site.
All right. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
It's time to say goodbye. Black out the sun and pack up the sky. Don't let my tears start to make you cry. Each time I try to say my goodbye.